Welcome, everyone. We're glad you're here. We're glad you found this room.
Amen.
You didn't realize this was part of a treasure hunt. And I've not been in this room before. It's a great room, but it's a little difficult to find. So thanks for your perseverance. We hope we can repay that a bit with some good information. We are thankful you're here. We want to meet you in just a moment. Let me begin just by saying on behalf of Interim Ministry Partners, I was the one who was invited to do these classes, but I wanted us to have a chance to introduce you to a kind of work that four of us are doing right now in Interim Ministry Partners to help churches make transitions at very critical stages of their life to kind of orient and get ready for a next phase of life. So we're going to explain a little more about Interim Ministry and what it is, but I am accompanied by my partners in this work, and I will show you them in living color. Greg Anderson, who's right here, has worked 10 years as a youth minister, for which he has taken 10 years of therapy. He's about to recover from the time that he spent. 10 years of pulpit ministry. Greg is working, was a part of FaithQuest. Winterfest, one of the creative minds behind some of the stuff going on there. We were very fortunate to have him be a part of us. He works for Strategic Government Resources right now, doing at a government level something similar to what we do at a church level. So you'll hear from Greg in just a few moments. Mark Frost, Mark is here. Mark did a 33-year tenure at a church in Trenton, Michigan, and has, over the last several years, been working with me. He has done four interim ministries with churches. Greg has, in the last year, been involved with two churches in interim ministry. But Mark brings a wealth of experience and competence, and you're going to love him and his demeanor. Don't be fooled by his kind of humble, quiet ways. He's a dynamo, and you'll really appreciate him. And then Phil Weir. Phil has done about 35 years of located work. He explains the tick you'll see in just a few moments. But Phil has, from early days, been a real innovator in kind of technical issues, particularly related to the internet. Phil's driving force behind Heartlight, Verse of the Day, A Year with Jesus. They reach many hundreds of thousands of people, and you're going to enjoy his role in today as well. We're just going to kind of bat things back and forth, try to give you an awareness of the unique opportunity churches that are in transition have. My name is Tim. It started.
Okay.
Yeah, it started. Good. I know how to push a button, Phil. I'm Tim Woodruff. I'm the founding partner for this. I've been doing this for some 6 years now, and love what I'm doing, love having invited these three guys to join me in this. Love the reach of what we're able to accomplish and the depth of what we're able to do with churches. So I hope you'll get some sense of what we're about over the next few moments. Interim Ministry is a ministry aimed at churches in transition. The interim period in a church's life is a very critical and important period in the church. Like personal lives, when we hit periods of crisis or transition or, you know, we're changing jobs, we're making a move, that period is very formative in our lives personally and in the life of the church. Now, we often approach those periods with a great deal of uncertainty and fear. We're going to talk about that some. But in fact, those seasons of a church's life are weighted with great opportunity. And if we can navigate the waters of change, if we can not be afraid of it, but face it boldly and head on, we've got all kinds of opportunities to do great kingdom things. Churches though we don't want to precipitate periods of transition, don't go home and fire your preacher just so you have an opportunity to enter a season of transition. But churches that are willing to say, God is with us, God is going to be with us as we march through this season. God is in charge of this church. He has not abandoned us. And we need to follow his lead to see where tomorrow needs to be for this church. Those churches find a renewed sense of calling, a renewed sense of mission, a focus of direction, and their future can open up in ways that they might never imagine by looking at their recent past. So our job is to help you grapple with that, understand the transition season a little better, and then to be a coach, to be a guide. We walk with churches all the time. I've walked with some 10, 12 churches over the past 6 years to help them navigate the uncertain waters, know where the reefs are, know how to sail around the problems, and get to the future in a healthy way. So that's what we want to talk about today. I hope it will be a blessing to you. I don't know your church situation. I don't know what you're coming from. But I'm about to know a little more, because I want to turn you over to Greg, and he's going to be asking you those very questions.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I'm going to take just a little bit of time to get to know you, who you are, why you're here. I'm going to start with the Hobbs, because I just met them a few moments ago. So, Nashville, guys, tell us a little about yourselves.
Well, we're a recently married couple. We have 7 children between us, 5 boys, 2 girls. We'll have 5 kids in college next year.
So, so we need to pass a hat?
We have a connection with Tim through Otter Creek, so we're really not here for a church discussion. We just thought we'd like to listen to Tim. But it applies to, we have some family members who are in churches that I wouldn't describe it as leadership transition, maybe just where the church is trying to transition. And so we thought this might have some applicability.
Awesome. Yeah, hopefully we'll address some of those issues for sure. Very nice to meet you both. Kind of going down the table here, sir.
Well, I'm an elder in the Church of Christ at Kaiser, Oregon, near Salem, Oregon. Mm-hmm. I looked at the title of the presentation today, cha-cha, whatever, and I said, I'm going to go find out what that is, because we're almost always in transition, I think.
Yes.
And so I wanted to see what you would give me to get through that transition, or to make a transition.
Awesome. Okay. Awesome. Very good.
Thank you. Name again?
Leon.
Leon.
Nice to meet you, Leon. Welcome. Welcome.
I'm Jen from Simmons. My wife and I have 11 children, so we're right. In fact, number 8 started college this fall. So,
oh my goodness! Wow.
I'm a deacon at the Lakeview Church of Christ in Tacoma, Washington. We have a strong military presence, mm-hmm. and so there's a constant turnover there, and they move every 2 or 3 years. Plus, being in the role of helping young adults make the transition from childhood to adulthood, mm-hmm. we have change mm-hmm. constantly in our own family.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Excellent. On the same principles we talk about, transition churches certainly apply, as you drill down into various other aspects of change within the body. So, glad you're here. Thanks.
We came from a very, very conservative, non-institutional group.
Okay.
And we've been coming here for them since 1996. We're still in transition a little bit. We worship leaders. It's more on the progressive side.
Okay.
Two services.
One was this instrument and one was that.
Okay. And where you guys live? What part of the
San Mateo.
Okay.
We're in the city.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Glad you're here. Let's keep on working our way down the thing there.
This is Jack, and I'm Virgil Jackson. We worship with Dan in just out of Tacoma, Washington. We are returning missionaries and are still in culture shock. So we're very, very interested in change.
Super. Well, welcome, and thank you for serving.
Where were you on the mission field?
Albania.
Oh, okay. Wow. Where in LA?
We were in southern Albania, from Vlora and below.
Okay. Welcome.
I'm Diane Helke, and I'm from the Bellingham Church. It's actually called the Sterling Drive Church of Christ in Bellingham, Washington.
Okay.
We have, for the last almost 4 years, been operating without a preaching minister. It's a little small congregation, but we're always looking for ways to kind of move around that or whatever.
Very intriguing.
Yeah.
Thank you. How about you folks?
And it's Dolte. I'm from Anaheim, Southern California, transplanted to Northern California because 2006, I was told I had 5 months to live, so I went up there to die. But I'm still here.
Wow.
In 2007, I finally got some medication that assisted me. I was slowed down the progression of my diseases. But I started attending a congregation up there, up north. They don't have, Church Christ, whatever. They have names. And ours is very appropriately named the Home Church. And we have 460 in the congregation, and we're building, the members are building a 750-seating sanctuary. And that hopefully will be built before the year ends. But I think we're very healthy.
Good.
As far as congregations go, and our minister's been there 33 years, and going on 34, and he's quite a visionary. So we get everything's supposed to happen during the year. We get it in January, it's really extraordinary, and a lot of talent.
Awesome. Well, we're really glad that you're here. Thank you. So,
my name is Brett White, and I'm a minister in Anchorage, Alaska. Tim has actually been to the congregation, and I just got there about 9 months ago, but this man was there before me. So.
Oh, wow. And you are?
My name is Mark Henry, and I'm a retired Army chaplain.
Okay.
And then I spent 11 years as a pulpit minister in Anchorage, Alaska. And I just went through a transition coming down to Texas.
It's a little bit of a stretch, just a tad. What part of Texas?
Near Fort Hood.
Okay, yeah, very good.
Right.
Brent, you were up north?
Yes, I was in Anchorage for 11 years.
We have not. Have we met?
No.
Okay, but I have heard of you and the beauty of your ministry and how you care for the people at that church, and they speak so highly of you and of your integrity. And
thank you.
Yeah, well, yes, thank you.
That's great. All right, so I'm currently teaching soldiers and family members college at Fort Hood.
Oh, okay.
We do private visits with the city of Killeen, so we're familiar with that area. So,
I'm Sid Dodd. I've been in the ministry for about 30 years. So I've gone through a pretty drastic change in ministry, going from very conservative to even working with churches outside of the Churches of Christ.
Okay.
And I also do taxes for preachers, which gives me a tremendous opportunity to be a resource other than that.
Yeah.
And so, of course, if you need help with your taxes, I'm going to
be happy
with that. And I've known Tim for about 30 years. Yeah. And, but I want to, being in ministry, all of us know it's kind of tough.
Right.
So you want to have resources for them. So I want to try to help guys that maybe were churches that are going through change.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Very good.
Awesome.
Brother, I've been in the corner back here.
Quarterback, right. Earl Hammer, Edmond, Oklahoma. I'm here visiting. I'm in transition of change.
All right, Earl. Very good. Very good. Good to see you.
I'm Pam Perry, and I'm from Sini Covenant Church.
Okay.
We have recently asked our pastor to leave,
okay.
And so his last day is Sunday, and so we are looking at a big transition.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay, well, yeah, very glad that you're here. So for sure, folks.
I'm Juliet from the Pastor Bandung Church of Christ in Singapore.
Okay.
I was interested in this because our youth group is going through some transition as well, and I thought it would be relevant.
Awesome.
All right, very good. I think you win the from the Crazy Business Award.
I'm not really sure. Possibly. So glad you're here. Very much so. Here's my wife in the back, Delene. We have twin sons who are juniors at Abilene Christian. We are flat broke, but two at the same time, which is nothing really. Right? I mean, that's. But anyway, that's my wife.
And get her dad.
And what?
Yeah.
Oh, and yes.
Yeah. Winston Chalk.
So Winston, okay.
All right. Dad. I'm one of the shepherds of the Pastor Pentecostal Church of Christ.
Okay.
We're going through a major transition. We celebrate our Jubilee this year, 50 years. The minister's been there for 49 years.
Incredible. Wow. 49 years. That's unreal. Henry Kong.
Henry Kong, yes.
Wow.
So it is. It's been a loaded transition.
Yeah.
We started working on this 4 or 5 years back. Tim's in dead help, and we're working through it. The devil's out of work as well.
Yeah.
We see the opportunities, and we're just keen to hear what else we can learn and maybe we can share.
Super. Thank you.
Dan Knight, I've been at the Overland Park Church of Christ in Overland Park, Kansas for the last 20 years.
Okay.
And I'm on my third preaching minister. I'm a minister of adult discipleship. Oh, so okay. I've seen this new transitions better sometimes than other times.
Right.
So I like this. Yeah. And I like listening to Tim Wood.
Very good.
worth coming here.
I just taught a hiring class in Lenexa 2 months ago. So
the
city of Lenexa, yeah.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, wonderful. So very good. Well, thank you all everybody so much. That gives us a lot of help knowing how to navigate the next little piece.
Well, I'm Phil, and I want to talk to you a little bit about church transitions in the transition season, and then we'll share some time with Tim to move out of that. But I did want you to know that in addition to dealing with the interim in-between preachers, we do have some specialty resources that we work with, some of the issues that you mentioned. When you have a fairly stable staff, but you're looking at some other needs in terms of a transition in your congregation, and we'll talk about some of those, Lord willing, tomorrow. About 11 years ago, I was in my 21st, nearing my 22nd year at Westover Hills in Austin. And Austin's in Texas, but it's not Texas. I mean, it's very different than the rest of Texas. I feel most at home when I live in Austin and Portland, if that gives you a sense of idea. It's very much the same vibe. And so the elders knew that the Southern Hills Church in Abilene was calling me to preach there. And to be honest, they didn't think there was any way I would leave, because we had talked about me retiring there and being there, and it was Austin and that was Abilene, and they were paying more than all of that. And so when I came in and told them that after 22 years I felt like the Lord was calling us to Abilene and to Southern Hills, they were flat stunned. The great blessing was that my mentor, Lynn Anderson, went with me to that meeting, and it took 2.5 years for them to find it. And during that time, Lynn preached a couple of Sundays every month and worked with the elders on several different issues. When a long-term minister leaves, it creates all sorts of shockwaves in the life of a congregation. There are people there, and this was one of the most difficult things, is people want to know if I come back and do the funerals. And of course I'd say, well, if I outlive you, I will, you know. But that's just one example. The other examples is my wife had taught in Cradle for 15 years. And so we knew all the kids growing up through the life of the church. So it creates all sorts of ripples. So the preacher has resigned. What do you do? Where do you go? What do you look for in terms of resources? How do you manage the interim? Who's going to preach? How are you going to have continuity? What happens to your sense of vision and mission as a church? Is it all tied up with the preacher? And what do you do to go forward? Because I don't think any of us really like treading water. So rather than tread water, how do you leverage the interim season to do God's work and prepare the congregation for the next burst of growth? The second one, and this is an issue all across the board, and we've tried all sorts of things, but the church is stagnant. What do you do in this situation? I know for about 12 or 13 years, we were one of the first churches Westover in Austin to have multiple services. We had as many as four, and they were all different. And a lot of churches wanted to try that to get them out of stagnation. And how do you know if that's a good choice or not a good choice? Do we need a new minister? Is it time for us to rethink who we are and what we're about? All those are important questions. And the easy answer appears to be go to multiple services and multiple styles. But that is nearly always detrimental to the life of the church, unless you have a deeper mission that the congregation recognizes. So who helps you through that? How do you come up with resources and people and some seminars and leadership training? And then the third one is new leaders are required. How many of you are in places that you wished you had more up-and-coming leaders step into life, the church? That is a great crisis. I'm living through the second hole in the donut in terms of leadership. The first one is the group just ahead of me that were part of the Vietnam era. We had about a 7 or 8 year hole in the donut where there just weren't a lot of leaders. And we're hitting a similar period to that hole in the donut. Now, how do you deal with that? And one of the exciting things, I got to work with Greg. He did most of the work with the church in Grapevine. And he did an incredible job of coaching those elders. And I came in and did a seminar. But one of the amazing things is in working and coaching their search team, you see men and women rise up to be the great potential leadership force in the future. That was one of the most exciting things, because they had some high-quality, talented people that needed to be called to the fore. I'm working with a couple of other churches right now and beginning to see the same thing. Some incredibly bright people that were just kind of sitting there stagnant, waiting to see if the church was going to see a sense of mission and call them to be a part of that mission. So I want you to realize that in all these church situations, there is always a great opportunity for God to do His work. One of our partners, Mark, has done a series of articles, and I'm going to just ask Tim to go ahead. We're going to point you to our website. We're in the middle of reducing our name, so it's a little easier to get to. Are you online, brother?
Well, that's a good question.
It may be working to get there, but the website is interimministrypartners.com, and Greg has done a recent series of articles talking about going through the wilderness and how God uses time in the wilderness to prepare, to refine, and to sharpen the focus of His people for the next jump. All right, we've got a whole series of things that we're waiting to see load. All right, why don't you click that link? But I want you to realize that our resources are rooted in helping in practical ways church leaders, search committees, elderships, and congregations. And we have come to see the interim season as the platform that God uses to prepare congregations for the next round of growth and significant ministry. And I think at that point, I'm going to let Tim take off and make a ladder out of that concept.
A lot of what we do is churches just like yours, where long-term, much-loved minister retires or moves on, or there's some crisis that precipitates a change in pulpit leadership. And half of our battle is trying to encourage churches to reframe that
that transition season, to move away from fear and the threat of uncertainty, not knowing what tomorrow's going to be like, recognizing that this Sunday is your pastor's last Sunday. What's happening next Sunday and the Sunday after that? And by the way, we anticipate that we need to have our new guy in place 6 weeks from now. Because above all, we want predictability. Above all, we want stability. We want to know that somebody's leading the charge. And we want to... Those are all issues that we struggle with, that churches struggle with. And trying to hold them off long enough to say, whoa, just a minute. Before we rush to the question, who is he, the next guy, can we pause long enough to ask, who are we? What is God's call on the life of this church? How has God gifted us to accomplish a particular ministry and to accomplish it well? What does it mean to be faithful as a church right here, right now? What doors is God opening up to us so that we can make a kingdom difference? If we can pause long enough as a church to start asking those questions and confirming those answers, if we can rehear the voice of God as He speaks into our church and says, this is what I want you to be about for my kingdom. If we can be open to the idea that the Holy Spirit is still alive and active and leading us, If we can recognize that God has constituted us as a church for a particular reason, He's brought these people here for a particular purpose. If we can recognize that we are where we are with the community in which we are sited, we're there for God's purposes. We don't run away from that. We don't spend our time denying that. We run into it. If we can be patient and ask those kinds of questions, then as our sense of clarity about who we are, as it grows, then we're in a better position to say, okay, now given that, who do we need to be helping us in the next season of this church's life? What kind of leadership do we need? What sort of skill set? A lot of times for a new minister, it kind of boils down to, can he preach a nice 20-minute homily? And does he know how to pat little children on the head in the foyer? Really? Is that the best we can do in coming up with, instead, really understanding who we are, what God's call in us is, the idea that this is the path we need to navigate in the near and the long future, that gives us some ideas about what skill set do we need, what experiences should someone bring, what kind of leadership potential does that person have, we can start developing a sense of who the next guy is because we know who we are. I've got a 25-year-old son who's unmarried. He's about 6'2". His hair is what? Yeah, I mean, he's just this kind of broad-shouldered. And by the way, if any of you have daughters in that age range, I'd be interested in talking to you about a potential match. You know, I would not encourage my son to marry someone until he understands who he is, what God's call in his life is, where he needs to be going. I want him to understand himself before he attaches himself to some sweet, pretty young thing. Now, a lot of us have survived attaching ourselves to some sweet, pretty young thing without really having a clear idea of God's call. But that's not what you'd recommend, is it? That's not what I'd recommend to you. So, all right, by the way, how old are you? 19, and you're still single, right? I'll show you Jonathan's picture. there are some unique opportunities that churches have, and I'm just going to go over one of these for you. One of the great blessings of an interim season is we get to pause long enough to say, what is our message? What is the gospel that saves and sanctifies us? What do we have to share? What story do we have to share that really makes a difference in people's lives? Is it truly a story about a building program?
Is it really a story about a worship style? Is the good news we have to offer people some of the traditional issues, is that where we want to be? Or do we have something higher and grander and better to offer people? Do we have a story about a God who is moving to accomplish his purposes in this world, and here's how he's done it through creation, here's how he's done it by forming Israel, here's how he's done it through his son Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection, here's how he's done it and continues to do it through his Holy Spirit working in us and in our world? What is that essential story? And isn't this a great time as a church to stand up and say, this is what we're about. This is what we need to rally around. This is where we need to put our emphasis. This is the saliva upon which we need to put our emphasis. This story. And to have a chance where we just pause long enough in the busyness of church life to rediscover the story that has changed our lives and the story that we believe can change the life, that provides us such an opportunity to rally around that grand gospel story once more, to figure out what is our emphasis and what might not be our emphasis. And move into the future with a leaner, cleaner sense of the story that we have to offer people that can change their lives. That's just one of the advantages we have in an interim season getting back to what we consider to be the basic. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. We've got some theological things about this interim season we want to offer you then. But Mark, I want to come up and talk to us about some frequently asked questions people have in the interim season.
The last 3 years of my life have been all about transition. Most of it, some of it by choice, and most of it forced on me. In May of 2011, the elders where I had been serving for 33 and a half years and I came to kind of an agreement, understanding that I was going to be transitioning out of full-time ministry over the next 18 months. So that's kind of the time frame we chose, 18 months. But 2 months after we made that decision and announced it to the church, my wife was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. So that was another kind of transition that was forced on us. And she lived 8 months after that. She died in March of 2012. And 2 months after her death was my last Sunday with the church that I'd served for most of my adult life, 33 and a half years. So transition was the order of the day. And I've been through that transition. Today is my 5 month anniversary with my current wife, so I'm newlywed, like you guys. We're a few children short of you, and we're not going to catch up. But I just see so many parallels between what I went through personally and what churches go through during transition seasons. And I found a lot of encouragement and instruction in one particular biblical story, and that is Israel in the wilderness. A time of great transition for them. So it's just been a blessing to take that example as a template for my own personal journey and then for helping churches through their journey. A couple of things that I want to talk about in terms of...
You already took
up there. I'm sorry. Okay. Question number one. Principal challenges in the interim season? I would just say loss. Loss is the biggest challenge. You lost a longtime minister, and people are going to grieve over that. You go through a lot of the same stages of grief. The congregation is going to go through a lot of the same stages of grief that someone would go through if they lost a loved one. Or maybe your minister hasn't been there that long. Maybe he's been there 6 months and everything has exploded and now he's leaving. That's another kind of loss. And the congregation is going to have to deal with that kind of loss. Loss of stability, loss of predictability, you name it. And churches in this interim season often lose confidence and they lose hope. They wonder what's going to become of us and where will we find another minister? Where will we find someone to lead us? Are we going to find someone good? Where will we find someone good? It just seems hopeless out there. And then, of course, it can be some number of losses. People, when congregations are in transition in between, people say, you know, we've been thinking about checking out that church across town over there. We think we're going to do that now. And so loss is a principal challenge. And so the question is, why do we need outside help? As interim ministers and interim ministry partners, we come in as outside help. We come in and work with congregations while they're in that interim season. Why do you need outside help? Several answers to that. One is that if your minister has been there for a long time, if you're talking about a congregation with ministers who have been there 20-plus years, you may not have anyone present who has ever been through the hiring process before. Because it's been 20 years since you went through that process. Now, if your minister has only been there a few years, I would suggest to you that maybe you've got some people that have been through the process before, but they may not have done a very good job because they only stayed 3 years. Okay? So that's one reason you need outside help. Another reason is that after a period of time, if you've been in your congregation for a while, you have developed insider eyes. And describe insider eyes this way. You know, I don't know about you, but in my house, you know, I've got a drawer in the kitchen that sticks. Okay? It doesn't bug me anymore. Because I know when you pull it out a little ways, and you push a little bit to the left and pull it out a little bit further, and it gets around that little sticky spot. And it gets to the point where I don't even notice that anymore. Now, a visitor can come in and go to that drawer and pull it out and get something wrong with this drawer. You know, I've stopped thinking about what's wrong with that drawer. And there are dozens of issues around my house that I've stopped thinking about because I live there and I'm an insider and I'm used to it. And one thing that happens in churches is those of us that have been there for a while, that I recognize this with the church that I served for 33 and a half years that I love dearly, that I recognize there are a lot of issues that they were facing that I was not seeing clearly because I had been there so long. I had insider eyes, and it was important to have an outsider come in, look around, and say, you know what, you need help with this and this and this. Here are some areas that you need to look at. So that's another reason we need outside help in this. The other one is that the kind of the default process that churches go through in trying to call a new minister is the default process, at least in our tribe, the Churches of Christ, is so shot through with flaws and difficulties and pitfalls that we need a new model. And so one of the things we do coming in and helping churches is we teach a new model of how to go about calling a new minister. And one of the reasons we come in on a regular basis is that without some regular coaching, churches tend to default back to the way it's always been, which is kind of this beauty contest where we call in four guys on four successive weekends. They each preach the best sermon they've got in their repertoire, and then the church splits four ways on which one they like best. Yeah, I don't know, but we don't think that's very effective. Okay, so the next one, and this I'll just kind of wrap up this one. What's the difference between, or what's different about an interim ministry? At least the way we do it, we don't come in as a full-time minister doing the kinds of things that a full-time minister would do. We don't make the kinds of visits that a full-time minister would make or go to the hospitals like a full-time minister would. On the other hand, we're not just a talking head that comes in on weekends and says, here I am for this weekend, here's my sermon, and then I'm gone again. Now, we engage with churches, but we engage with a very narrow focus and with a very specific purpose in mind. And here's our purpose in the interim ministries that we do with churches. First of all, we want to work with that church to help them discern God's call. What is God's call in your congregation? Why are you here? And how has God assembled the members? You know, the Bible says that God has placed every member of the body just exactly where he wants them to be. Read 1 Corinthians, it's in there. Okay? Why has God assembled this congregation at this place and this time with this particular mix of gifts? Why? We help the congregation discover God's call on them. And that is prerequisite for them discovering God's called person
who is going to come and partner with them over the long term to help them move in the direction of God's call. We believe that God has called specific people to specific churches to serve as ministers for specific needs at specific times. And so we help the church discover God's call for them so that they can discover God's called person to come and serve them. And that's how inter-ministry is different than others. There are other questions, but we can get those later if we have time. But at this point, I want to turn it back over to Greg, who's going to talk about a specific service that we offer to churches.
Thanks, Mark. I'm going to let Tim go ahead and populate the screen because our time is starting to get away from us. So, we offer multiple levels of service and inter-ministry partners. We'll talk about all of those in detail tomorrow. One of the things that we do that has been very successful for churches, we feel like, has been a weekend seminar that basically overviews the entire construct of the search process, really from A to Z. And we typically would come in on a Friday evening and meet with just the shepherds, most likely in staff. And then Saturday morning, if the search team is in place, would meet with the elders and the search team together. If the search team is not in place, then we would help the shepherds form that search team. On Saturday afternoon, spend some time in focus groups, interviewing the church on very, very broad brushstroke questions. If that needs to go in Saturday evening, we would do that as well. And then Sunday morning, teach combined adult Bible classes and preach. And this is just kind of a typical schedule that can certainly be altered. But it lets the congregation know, really, kind of from A to Z, this is what you can expect. And it's not just about the process. We spend a lot of time talking about that. But it certainly is about creating the construct that makes it much more likely to be successful long term. So one of the things that we do, and I'm not going to read these to you, but if you go to the next slide there, Tim, go one more. On Friday evening, for example, when we meet the shepherds, these are some of the things that we would discuss as it relates to opportunities. And you can see those. I'm not going to read those off the screen to you. If you're going to the next slide there, Tim, there is one that I do want to specifically point out. We have a tendency, I think, sometimes to fall into let's deal with the negative portions of transition. But transition can be awesome. It can be a wonderful time of celebration for a church as you reflect back on where you've seen God at work very, very clearly in the life and the history of your church. How can you, as Henry Blackaby used to say, how can you see where God is at work and go join him there? And that's going to be evidenced in some of the great victory stories that you have as a church. Also, it does, as Mark and Tim both mentioned earlier, helps you clarify your mission. And if you'll go one more, Tim, just one more quickly. I want to leave a little bit of time for questions. This is really fascinating to me. Transitioning churches are willing to deal with personal and interpersonal issues that accumulate over time, and they will typically do that more. A lot of times when churches are going through transition, the gossip chains, people kind of find their niche. kind of body, they kind of gather around where some of the carnage lies, or they kind of push their agendas. One of the things that we're able to do is go in and not allow people to make excuses for those kinds of things. Be able to wade through it as an outsider looking in and really bring those kinds of things to the surface and encourage the elders above all else. This, I think, has been one of our greatest victories as it relates to our work with churches, to help elders lead proactively, not reactively. And that is a huge difference in polity and governance. And it's fascinating. The elders can say it for years, the preacher can say it for years, but there's something about somebody coming in from the outside and saying it in 5 minutes. And people go, well, that's really good. They say it for 5 years, but that's part of the teaming that hopefully can yield a very, very positive piece. So that just gives you kind of an example of what we would do on a Friday evening, some of the kinds of topics that we would cover. And then tomorrow, if you'll have an opportunity to come back, we'll talk about some of the things that we would actually do on a Saturday. I want to leave a little bit of time for questions. I know our time is getting close here. Tim, Mark, you might want to chime in on something else.
We do want to make ourselves available to you in a number of ways. We'll stick around here afterwards if you have some questions. If you're from a church where you're bumping up against, you know you've got a transition ahead, we will buy you coffee.
and sit down and give you as much time as you need. We just want to have conversations with churches who are right where you are. So if you want to talk further with us as a team or with any of us individually, please, please let us do that. We've cleared our schedules for today and tomorrow to make those conversations possible. The second thing I'd ask of you is you're going to be talking to other people that they're going to be in a similar position. So tomorrow our class is going to be different. We've got a different slate of issues to talk about. We want to encourage you to come back and be a part of that. Hopefully we can get a little more interactive. We're not going to do so much information dump. If you know some people who have benefited by being here and talking through these kinds of issues as they think about their church's future, we'd like you to invite to bring them along. Okay, we'll give a $25 gift certificate for every visitor that you all right, if you need to go, and if you want to stay and talk to someone, we're happy to do
that. Can I just, one of the things I hope you'll hear from the combined experience that we have is we love God's people and we love the local church. And we want the local church to have resources and not be alone in their journey. And we believe it's essential that they live out God's mission. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. We're not on the church bashing end of things. We prefer to be on the church equipment end of things. And that's really our focus. Thank you for being here.